WRKC is proud to present the third season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 24th episode, On the Chase.
All right, Mr. Ross, go through the events that occurred between 6:30 and 7 p.m. earlier this evening.
It was the third time going through this same tired set of questions. Joel Ross, a man with an unhealthy obsession with my crime-solving career, had less than 2 hours previously released from prison the perpetrator of my first case and his cellmate, the most dangerous man in the city, who also happened to have a very good reason to dislike me. District Attorney Murdoch was in the process of attempting to find some clue from his story that might lead us to Giovanni Colazioni. Technically, this was the job of Police Chief Brulé, but it wasn't the first time he'd failed to do it, and I doubt it would be the last.
I already went through this for you. Twice.
You wanted to be a mystery. Well, now you're in one. And mysteries are solved most of the time with good old-fashioned police work. Now tell us again.
Like I told you, it began when Harry refused to meet with me. It was still early in the evening, but most of the officers had gone home already. I had been paying attention to the traffic in and out during the day, so I could find a good time to go for it. I parked my car in the visitor's lot and went in, as if to meet with someone. Then it was just a matter of walking through a door and trying to look important. I got into an office and started looking for a key. Instead, I found a golf club so that when one of the officers walked by the room, I knocked him out and took his key. Then it was just a matter of getting to the right cell and letting them out.
Wonder what today's chowder is.
I will admit, the food has gotten better since you started working in the kitchens.
These idiots in the kitchen do not know a saucepan from a sausage.
If I may make one suggestion, the meatballs need more oregano. Oh, if only I could get you my mother's meatball recipe.
Ah, that would be a treasured thing indeed.
Are you Henri Gusteau and Giovanni Colazione?
Oui.
Yeah, who the hell are you? A fan of Harry Flynn's.
No, do not mention this name before me.
If I could get out from behind these bars, I'd kill you myself. What if I were to let you out? Keep talking. I released them from their cell and left. I assumed they would be able to get out by themselves. Then I went to meet you, Harry.
And we know what happened then.
I think we've heard enough here. Officer Kinberg?
Yes, sir.
See Mr. Ross to his cell. I don't see any reason we can't put him in the cell he opened up.
All right. On your feet, come on.
But I want to talk to Harry more. But wait! I want to talk to Harry more!
And I want to punch your damn face in. But it looks like neither of us get what we want.
I did this for you, Harry! Don't you see that?
Officer Bernadette Kinberg led him out in cuffs, leaving me and Murdoch in the room. Murdoch leaned against the table, his calm control lost for a moment as the weight of the situation fully set in.
Damn it!
Can't say I disagree.
We need to move on this. You've dealt with Colazioni before. What would you expect?
Well, he's not going to go drink at some bar. He's lost his crime empire, and he'll be wanting to take that back. It'll be that and revenge.
That's how I figured it. I'm suggesting protective custody and extending it to whoever else you believe may be a target. Go call whoever you need to.
I went to Spinelli's desk to use his phone. Brody was at his desk with a deck of cards in front of him. He seemed to be moving the cards randomly. All the same, his head didn't even raise as I picked up the phone and dialed Marla's number.
Hello?
Marla, thank God you're all right.
Harry, do you know what time it is?
No, but that's not important right now.
What's wrong? You sound like a client.
There's been a jailbreak. I'm not sure how many, but Colazioni's out. Is someone at your house?
As in Giovanni Colazioni?
That's the one. The police are extending protective custody. If Giovanni thinks he can get to me through you, he won't hesitate.
Harry! Do you need me to pick her up?
Fine time for him to wake up. No, I'll go get her.
Not if I get her first.
With surprising grace, he sprang from his desk and was out the door. Looks like he was really bored. An officer is going to be by to pick you up. It's not safe for you to go alone.
How do I know he's on the level?
He'll say something really stupid.
Like what?
Trust me, you'll know. It will be almost brain-meltingly stupid. But I have to go. If you've got a gun at home, keep it with you.
All right, Harry. Be careful.
You too. I got off the phone with Marla and started thinking of the people I should get in touch with. I started off with calling Deborah's house, but there was no answer. It occurred to me that Colazioni could have gotten to her already, but I pushed it out of my mind. I went back to the unnervingly short list of people counting on me. Marla would be here soon, Spinelli was safely guarded at the hospital, Deborah was probably on a plane to Acapulco by now, and Carolyn was in Philadelphia. Only other person I could think of was Glenn, and Giovanni would have to be pretty damn desperate to go gunning for the man I buy liquor from. 45 minutes later, I still hadn't called anybody else, but I decided to call Deborah in the morning when I could actually reach her.
Harry?
Marla. I moved to her quickly and took her into my arms. She was in danger because of me, and I was going to protect her now.
Harry, I need to know. Do you think Colazioni will come after me?
If I didn't, I wouldn't have asked you to come here. He's got eyes everywhere, and if he's not caught soon, he'll learn that if he had you...
You'd come and rescue me?
Yes, something like that. I stared down into her eyes, holding her close without even realizing it. Such beautiful eyes filled with hope and fear and something else.
Would you?
If it meant my life. We leaned in and our lips touched and there were fireworks. It wasn't a question in my mind. If Colazione even thought of trying to do anything to her, I'd kill him myself. But for now, I was frozen in a moment of clouded judgment and blissful emotion. Of course, that couldn't go on without an interruption.
Have either of you seen Marla Newman?
Marla and I drew apart, and I turned to see Officer Bernadette, a female officer who had been closely tied in with catching Colazione. Officer Bernadette, good to see you.
Mr. Flynn.
Everything okay?
20-some convicts broke out of prison because a fan of yours got all worked up. We do solid police work every day of the year, while you fool around at your private detecting, and this happens. It wouldn't be fair to blame you, but that doesn't mean I'm happy with you.
All right, that's fair. Would it help if I told you where Marla Newman was?
Can't hurt.
Officer Bernadette, Marla. Marla, Bernadette.
Looks like I was wrong. I didn't expect you to be so impertinent.
Good to meet you, officer. Did you need me for something?
We've got your bunk set up for the night, and there's a locker for you. Anything you've brought can be kept there. You should probably go set yourself up.
Thank you very much.
It would probably be better if you did so now.
All right. Well, I'll see you later then, Harry.
All right. Have a good night, Marla. Bernadette. Bernadette and Marla left, and I rubbed my forehead. Women get to talking the moment they're alone, and I was pretty sure Bernadette wouldn't have anything pleasant to say about me. I grabbed my coat and walked to the room set aside for men in protective custody, picked a bed, and closed my eyes for a night of restlessness.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of On the Chase, but first, a word from our sponsor.
It's shocking!
Ah!
It's terrifying!
No! 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 Ah!
A cinematic horror based on real-life medical findings! Lactose Lunacy! Starring Bradford Steele as a shady, underhanded milk peddler with no regard to his actions.
I'm a shady, underhanded milk peddler with no regard to his actions.
Lactose Lunacy, a film about a sweet young girl, portrayed by Annette McCollum, being led horribly awry.
Hey there, Missy. I've got some jugs of pure Wisconsin gold. Unpasteurized, of course. Come on, Toots. What's the worst that could happen?
Well, all right, I guess. Ah, that was refreshing. Although now I feel like I have some slight abdominal discomfort.
Just wait until the next time you have to use the restroom. Hey, buddy. What do you give me for a pint of unpasteurized Italian?
And lactose intolerance strikes again. Watch in unmitigated horror as Lactose Lunacy overtakes not one, not two, but a whole party full of innocent, impressionable high schoolers.
Oh, come on.
I gotta clean up, guys.
Go.
All right, I'm finished.
Well, it's about... Oh, wow, what happened in there?
Don't blame me. It was the...
Lactose intolerance.
Lactose Lunacy, a film by Rodolfo Bjornsson. Go see it before it finds you.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
All law enforcement personnel called to briefing room. After 4 hours of staring at the ceiling, and no more than two sleeping restlessly, an officer came in to wake the other cops. In a time like this, there's always more people called to duty than normal, and some of them had stayed the night, either to not lose time or because they doubted the safety of their own homes.
Someone handed me my tie.
Yeah. Hi. Got my shoes right here.
Where's the last issue of the paper?
I'm gonna.
That's all personnel. All personnel. Harry Flynn. Never heard of him. All law enforcement personnel includes private investigators.
Does that mean I'm on payroll now?
No, but you get to enjoy our fine lodgings. Come on, they're starting soon. I got up, splashed some water on my face, and went to the briefing room where things had already started. The cops were seated in the front, listening to one of the older officers. Murdoch was seated behind him, looking like he'd slept as much as I had. In the back of the room were three chairs where Marla was sitting next to a pretty blonde with her hair up in a bun. With a quick survey of the room, I realized the third seat was for me. I moved over quickly and sat down next to Marla, trying not to cause a disturbance.
Lenny Lightfoot Rosilio, Billy the Necktie Sapienza, and Freddy the Pigeon Riccardi. That brings us to 23 escaped convicts. And Vito the Waltor Grossa and Vinny the Weasel Botticello's escape last month brings us to a grand total of 25 escaped cons on the street. D.A. Murdoch will address you concerning procedure. Murdoch.
Thank you, Gary. I'm sure that Chief Brulé would have liked to be here to speak with all of you, but for now I'll have to do. This is not the time for petty squabbling. All units should consider themselves on call until this is resolved. In light of the current situation, we will also be making another temporary change in protocol.
All of the escaped convicts are to be considered armed and dangerous at all times. If there's any way in which they could be concealing a weapon, you are to assume that they are doing so. As such, I'm extending acceptable force.
Sir, what do you mean?
If you see an escaped convict, and you'll be receiving a dossier with descriptions and photographs, you may behave as though they are armed and dangerous, as I said before. It is within your rights to fire at them, aiming for limbs. Suspected intentional killings will be punished severely, but we cannot fight them if they are willing to shoot, but we are not. Since last night, 3 additional officers have been injured, and another, Officer Morgan Bowles, has died. I'm asking a lot of you, and don't think that I don't know it, but I guarantee we will be working overtime to ensure that all of you and the people of this fine city are kept as safe as possible, given the situation. All officers not assigned to previous task forces are to go on patrol, remembering that 2 men per car still applies. We don't want any accidents. All other personnel, please wait for instructions. Civilian law enforcement are encouraged to speak to me or another administrative officer to be most helpful.
He nodded at the crowd and stepped down from the podium with a sour look on his face. I didn't blame him. As a whole, the force was getting ready, but more than a couple were complaining about it and shooting dirty looks in his direction.
Are you volunteering?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd be much help on patrol.
I know what you mean. Oh, Rose, have you met Harry Flynn?
I don't think we have, though I've heard a bit about you.
Oh, yeah? All good, I hope.
Rose Carrington is the DA's fiancé.
Well, it was worth hoping.
You worked with Robert on the Collisione case, didn't you?
In a sense. Listen, I've a phone call. Make a phone call. I've got to make a phone call. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Good to meet you, Mr. Flynn.
Likewise. The 2 women put their heads together as I hurried out of the room to get to a phone. Deborah had given me the number of the hotel she was going to, so I called it.
Hello? You've reached El Vaso Roto Resort in Acapulco, Mexico.
Mexico? Really?
Yes, sir. Acapulco specifically.
Huh. I thought Acapulco was in France or something.
Can I help you with anything?
Oh, yeah. Did a Deborah Sullivan and a Jimmy Converse check into your hotel?
May I ask who this is?
I'm Harry Flynn, Deborah's employer. Can you connect me to her room? Or Jimmy's if she isn't in.
There is only one room, Mr. Flynn.
Huh. No kidding. Connect me.
Hello? The static you're hearing is fresh, tropical Mexican static, and you're talking to Deborah Sullivan, finally answering the phone for herself instead of that miser Harry Flynn.
How was your flight?
Oh! Harry, I should got you with that joke, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
I figured it would be you.
It's all right. You don't need to explain to me. I've got more important business right now.
The gin is on top of the right filing cabinet, and I think you have half a bottle of rum in your desk.
Is that where it is? No, more important than that. Giovanni Colazioni is out of jail.
Oh no, how did that happen?
No time to explain. Just wanted you to be aware. You may not be able to come back when you plan to.
That's terrible. Just terrible shocks.
Try not to let it worry you too much while you're out there. Just call me the day before you're set to leave.
Thanks, Harry. Good luck.
Deborah being safe was a pile of stress off my shoulders. She could certainly be a pain, but I wouldn't want my actions to have put her in danger. I've been putting her in more than I strictly like to think about lately.
Harry, I think we should...
Marla! I didn't hear you coming up.
Monologuing your head again?
No, of course not. Of course she was right. Something about standing in that gloomy hallway, knowing that the men and women who worked inside were already on the street seeking out perps, had me in that kind of mood.
You're doing it again.
No, I'm just tired.
About last night.
Marla, I don't know if we should start talking about us right now.
Why not? I don't see anyone looking to go on patrol with me.
If it isn't the 2 people I was trying to find. I'm looking for someone to go on patrol with me.
For what couldn't be more than the 3rd time in my life, I was glad to see Brody.
I was thinking if you wanted to, Marla, you could come with me.
Her?
Me? On patrol? With you?
Well, we could go back to our conversation on the card game I'm working on. I think I've devised the perfect way to combine solitaire and go fishing.
No, no, absolutely not. Harry, don't let him. He talked about that damn game for the whole 20-minute drive from my house. He doesn't take a hint. He doesn't let anyone talk, and he clearly doesn't understand either game. There isn't a force on heaven or earth that could get me into his squad car again.
Guess that leaves me. See you, Marla.
Wait, Harry.
I quickly followed after Brody, leaving an annoyed-looking Marla behind. Sure, it may seem cold or cowardly, but I had a list of reasons as long as my arm that kissing Marla the night before had been a stupid idea. After all, we're business competitors. She's younger. There's Carolyn to think about. All right, a list of reasons as long as my thumb. Even so.
And that's the basic concept. What do you think?
And apparently the thinking had distracted me so much that I'd forgotten I was driving with Brody. Yeah, Brody, that sounds fine. Say, mind if we swing by my office before we go patrolling?
Why? Worried Collisione might be there?
No, though how that slipped past me and not you is making me a little worried.
It's because you're all gaga-eyed over Marla.
If you keep on having astute observations, I'll be convinced I'm insane.
I think go solitary fishing is going to require more than one deck of cards.
Thanks, Brody. That means a lot.
No problem. The second deck would be for full houses.
We drove on with Brody explaining his plans to incorporate a checkers board and me gently massaging my temples. As we got onto my street, a plume of smoke became visible through the buildings. Brody, that's my building. Pull over.
I can't. There's no parking spaces.
Are you joking? Right there. Space for three cars.
That's only for taxis.
You're a cop in a squad car. Nobody's going to ticket you.
But I'd be setting a terrible example.
Of all the cops in the city, I'm stuck with the one who can't bend a law. There's a spot. Come on. Brody parked, hitting the curb with his back tire, but without committing a single other driving violation.
Where are you going?
I'm going in. There's files in there I can't lose. I was halfway out of my coat, which I wasn't going to risk in the fire, when I saw a familiar-looking man in a black trench coat coming out from the alleyway next to my building. Henri, French chef, escaped convict, and the man who'd murdered my brother over some kind of sour cream, caught sight of me and took off at a run. Brody, get in the car to head him off.
But I've got such a good parking space. You'll never catch me, Harry Flynn.
I'll catch you and put you right back where you belong. I chased after him maybe a block before I was able to tackle him around the legs. Henri hit the ground hard, cracking his face against the pavement.
Zoot! Get your hands off me!
Stop! Damn it, stop struggling! Brody, bring me some cuffs!
No! I will not go back to jail!
Prison's better than you deserve. Come on, get up.
I have been framed! There is no justice in this country! And no fine cuisine!
I happen to like hamburgers. Now shut up before I teach you some manners. I had Henri on his feet, but he was still struggling. Then there was a screech of tires and a black Ford pulled up on the curb. I pulled my pistol. These your guys?
No, I have not seen this car.
The back window lowered and I saw two very unwelcome sights. The ugly mug of Vito the Wall and the barrel of a Tommy gun. There's something about the barrel of a gun that always looks angry. In the same way, there's always something about Vito's face that always looks confused.
Hey, Vinny! You know how you told me not to burn down the building because it's already on fire?
Yeah, Vito.
Well, I found Harry Flynn. Should I plug him?
Vito, shut up and turn him into Swiss cheese.
Can we talk about this? I threw myself to the ground, pushing Brody and Henri out of the way as best as I could.
Zoot!
The muzzle flared, gunfire pierced the air, and chips of the bricks behind me shot out as shrapnel. I got onto my knees and fired after the car, but it was already pulling away. Brody, you hit?
No, I'm fine.
Keys, now! I took the keys to the squad car, revved it up, and slammed on the pedal with the sirens blaring. Up ahead, I could see the men who'd fired at me speeding down the road. Vinny Botticello! Pull over now!
You'll never catch me, copper!
I don't think he's technically a cop, Vinny.
Shut up, Vito! Shoot him!
Vito's shooting shattered the windshield and tore the seat next to me to pieces. With the windshield out of the way, I felt a little better about returning fire and blowing out their back window to get a better view. Drop the gun, Vito!
Make me...
Show him the hostage, you idiot!
Oh yeah.
Vito's head disappeared from view for a second, and when he came back up, a stunning woman with jet black hair and a gag in her mouth was held partially in front of him. Damn it! She struggled and he pulled the gag from her mouth.
Say hello to Harry Flynn!
Please, save me! I don't want to die!
I couldn't aim inside the car any longer, and Vito had decided to point his Tommy gun right back at me, so I took a chance. I held the wheel steady with my knees, aimed carefully, and shot out their rear left tire. The shock of the lost tire rattled the car, and Vito's head hit the roof. The big machine gun fell from his hands as Vinny desperately tried to steer the car. Unfortunately, I was recovering too. The gun got into the undercarriage and lodged into one of the axles. Not a hard thing to fix, but not exactly something that can be changed during a 40-mile-per-hour chase.
So long, Seamus!
That's not his name, Vinny.
Shut up, Vito!
I swore again and slammed my fist against the wheel, but I wasn't going anywhere. Eventually, I managed to catch a cab that brought me back to my office. Vito's shooting had left me and Brody without a scratch, but Henri hadn't been so lucky.
Listen to me. Grim. Fresh. So there goes our lead.
You mean our lead? Yes, there goes our lead. I can't believe I let them get away. And they've got someone with them. A girl.
Well, did you get anything?
Nothing substantial. They're heading north above 12th, which, well, if they were at least going the right direction, that gives us a neighborhood. It's not much to go on, but it's something. 10-1 says they're working for Collisione. If we can find them, we'll find their boss.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, On the Chase, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta and Lucas R. Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Bernadette, McCollum, Deborah, and Rose. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Cop. Jennifer Momenzada as Marla, Cute Girl, and Femme Fatale. Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Bradford Steele, and Vito. Lucas Hamasachi as announcer, Joel, Giovanni, Don Pardo impersonator, and random yelling dude, and hum double for Mr. Spinelli. Mark Zurich as Brody, Vinny, old-time announcer, and Henri, and chronic loser as young cop, guest starring Colin Walsh as old cop, Acapulcan, and brawny man. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Here, have some of mine. You can find it on Facebook or log on to harryflynn.wikia.com for episode summaries, cast lists, trivia, and MP3s of all previous episodes. No, that's a blatant lie. Don't listen. They're making me do this. They're making me do this. Find me at 515 Sycamore.
You heard nothing.